Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to take this service over, to make it yours, Father, not mine nor men or mankind. And Father, may it be that we hear the word in truth and in your way to give us the right understanding, so that we can grow in faith, walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, closer to you, Father. Spend more time in your word, Father. Now be with us throughout this study, and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in chapter 2. The book of John, the Gospel of John. We finished with one yesterday. And we're going to be talking about his first miracle. And verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Now, 3. And when they had wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. You see, most of their feasts and things, they had wine at Adam, the fruit of the vine. Now, it wasn't like the wine we would go buy at the stores today. This was strictly man-made wine. It didn't have anything else added to it. That was one reason that it was used. Because, you see, when you truly make wine the right way, it will purify itself every 21 days. It's one of the most pure substances that we have today on earth as far as liquid goes. Now, that's why it was used. And it was used even during communion. They didn't use grape juice like we do today, because most wants to use grape juice because they're afraid there'll be somebody among them that has been an alcoholic, and if they was to take a drink of wine, it would chase them back to being an alcoholic, which is not true. Because number one, if they were far enough along in their walk with God to partake of communion, then they would have enough power and restriction to not pay any attention to it being what it is, even. It would be something holy to them. All right, now, she told him here in verse 3 that they had no wine. Verse 4, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. He's talking about his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. 5. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She's not paying much attention, is she? 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 finnikins apiece. Now there, these water pots that were normally used for their washing feet and things, but you see, a finnikin actually is about 9 gallons. So each pot held 10 to 27 gallons. The total capacity of those pots that were set there was 108 to 162 gallons. That is a lot of wine. But also, at those weddings and things, they had large crowds. But just so you'd know what a finnikin was, a finnikin is around 9 gallons. So depending on what a pot holds, these helped quite a bit. Now, Jesus said unto them, he's talking to the servants now, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. In other words, they really filled them. 8. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. In other words, they took it to him. Now, 9. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Now, you see, he didn't know where this come from. He didn't know that it had been just water, but he's called the bridegroom now. And he says to him here in 10, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worst. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. In other words, Jesus had made the best wine. Now, well, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brother and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, in other words, he made him a whip, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers, money, and overthrew the tables. 16. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? They want to know where his authority is coming from for him to do these things. And you see, we got a lot of that going on today, but even it's even worse because it's not even for the purpose, really, of a sacrifice. They're doing it to make a lot of money. Now, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now you see, he's not talking about the temple that they're in right now. He's talking about his temple, that body that he's in. 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. And wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? You see, because they have no understanding of what he's telling them. 21. But he spake of the temple of his body. 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now we've come to the end now of chapter 2. We're going to be going in here to chapter 3. And you've heard me talk about this many times, but now you'll get to really see it in the Word of Almighty God. When you see, this is where it's recorded in the book of John, the 3rd chapter. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now we know that he was a Pharisee and a ruler, because he was also a master of Israel, a rabbi. You see, he walked with many titles and different work. Verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He still, though, does not know. He's proclaimed he's a man from God, but he's a man from God, not the Lord Jesus Christ, not the Savior, not the Messiah. But now, Jesus begins his explanation here. It's going to take a few verses for us to get all through this. Here in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to really listen to this, because without this, you and I cannot make heaven our home. This is something we must obtain, or we're going to miss out on making heaven our home. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's got to be born of the Spirit and of the water. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, A master of Israel, and knoweth not these things? 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. 12. if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, you see, he's standing there telling them exactly what is going on, but they have no understanding at all. And really, they should have been understanding. Because in the Old Testament, most all this was prophesied. And they had that. Because, you see, that's what the Torah was made up of. Now, which was their holy book, the Torah. 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, you know, there was a time in the wilderness when Israel had a lot of serpents among them. And they were poisonous. And they would bite them. And when they would bite them, they would die. But God had him to put a serpent, a brass serpent, on a pole and lift him up. And those that were bitten, if they would look on that pole, they would live. Just as looking to Jesus gives you and I life. Now, 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You're letting them know you've got to believe in Jesus to have eternal life. 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17. You see, these you can read because they need very little explanation. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the explanation. 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, Jesus doesn't want any of us lost. For those that are dying without Jesus, that is not the will of God or what God wants. He wants us all to be saved. But we choose to walk our own way. And when we do that, we're lost. Now, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, he's not pulling any punches at all. 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. 20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In other words, brought out. And that's why those that are evil, those that are doing things that are wrong, really don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ on their own. They want people to find out about the things they're doing, and they don't want to quit. Now, 21. But he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see, you've heard me tell many times about being born again, that you have to be born again. And what does really being born again mean and mean to us? What does it do, being born again? How can we know what things and what it does to us and for us to be born again? What's the difference in our lives? Well, we're going to go back here to 1 John now. For those of you that have not heard this before, because most that's been with me have heard me preach on this many, many times. But we continue to do it because so many keep forgetting what it's all about. Now, I'm going to start here in chapter 3 of 1 John in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And you see, until you are born again, you're not going to be called his son. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, we all know that from other scriptures. Now, 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Himself, even as he is pure. You know, at Christ's coming, his followers will be transformed. But in the meantime, they need to be diligent in growth in holiness. We know that he is pure, and it is the pure in heart who shall see God. You see, that heart cannot have sin in it. You can't do it. Not make heaven its home. This is where being born again comes in. Now, tells us that we shall see him as he is. 3. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Uh-oh. You know, we're getting kind of strong here now. Six. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And you think you can go on and keep committing sin? We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is all about. Now, on all baptism, that's for you to repent. No, that was John's baptism. That's not what it's for today. But anyway, now, 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. In other words, you're righteous just like the Lord God is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, we come right down to the point of our study. 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. You can't put it any plainer than that. You got sin in your life. You've never been born again. And if you've never been born again, you're not going to make heaven your home. We've just read the whole thing, haven't we? Now, 10. In this, the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, it don't take a whole lot for us to be wrong. But these things that we need to accomplish and know and all, because things today is being taught a lot different than what this word says. We've been told we have to be born again. We've been told what being born again is, does, of course, and all about. And we've been told that we need to be baptized. And what's that baptism all about? You see, John's baptism, yes, he baptized in water, and that was for the remission of sin. Because Jesus had not yet paid the price for you and I. And you see, after the church age started, baptism also changed, and we are to be baptized in Jesus' name, not in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That was by the law. But we are to be baptized in Jesus' name. And the reason for that, we find in the 6th chapter of Romans. Now, verse 1 is chapter 6. Pardon me. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Pardon me. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How did you get dead to sin? You got that way through baptism. That's what baptism's for. Because here's what's happened. 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You're being baptized into his death. You're putting on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. You see, when I baptize you, I'm burying you with Christ. With him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, we're putting on his death and his resurrection. And we are then to walk in newness of life. That's what baptism is about. Not for forgiveness. We go to Jesus for that. He's the one that forgives our sins. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You see, it's all in the Word of God. Things that I have been trying to get across to most for a long, long while. That we don't walk in sin today. If we do, we are not a child of the living God. So you better put it away from me. Now, that's why we need the study of God's Word, so we know how to walk. And we walk in obedience unto God, to his Word, and if we do that, we'll never go wrong. Now, after he talked to Nicodemus there, we go into 22, and John the Baptist testifies of Jesus. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Speaking about John the Baptist, not John the disciple. 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You see, this is why we have got so many preachers behind the podium preaching contrary to God's word, is because they were not called to be there by the Lord God. They didn't get that call from heaven. Now, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He's letting these busybodies know that it is fine for him to be baptizing. But Jesus only baptized a few, certain ones. Now, 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. This is John now. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. 32, and what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. No man receiveth his testimony. Think about that. Because they don't want to. Now, 33. He that has received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. You see, God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Some manuscripts read that he gives the Spirit without measure, which would then refer to the sending of the Holy Spirit. Now, but we know that all of this comes from heaven, and we are to be sent into whatever work God calls for us to do. Your Sunday school teachers, as we have today, needs to be sent for that purpose by God. Not just somebody that wants to choose to do it. Because you see, when he's sent by God, God is giving him the right things to teach. And he's not going to be teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God. Now, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and has given all things unto his hand. 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Letting us know that when we will not walk with the Lord and keep his word and live our life for him, we're not going to see heaven as our home. We're going to find ourselves combating with Satan and his demons and all that have missed out of making heaven their home in hell. And I'm telling you now, that is a place you don't want to go, because it's even going to get worse later on in eternity. Because after the Lord comes back to this earth and sets up his millennial reign, that 1,000-year reign, at the end of that will be what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And at that judgment is when all that have missed making heaven their home, Satan and all his demons, and hell itself will be cast into a lake of fire that burns forever. And you will abide there throughout eternity in that pain, that punishment, and never no way out. You're making the choice this day as you live. It is your choice of how you want to spend your life in eternity. Not just how you want to spend it here, but how you want to spend it in eternity. Whether you want it in heaven with the Lord Jesus, or if you want it in that lake of fire. All right. We've come to the end now of chapter 3. We're going to stop here for this morning. And go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the knowledge that the Spirit gives us, Father, as we study your word and the help that it gives to us, the strength that it gives to us, and the strength of faith, Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this day, keeping us in health, keeping us safe. And, Father, I pray for all of those that are part of this ministry that is taken up with us, for Kenny Powers, for Dennis, for Amy, and her husband Tom, and her son Jacob. I pray for Millie, Bobby Johnson, James Taylor, myself, and Father. I'm praying for Courtney, and sweet. They need the Lord Jesus. And Father, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit can talk to them and get them to the point of knowing that they need it. So that, Father, they can go and repent and also make heaven their home. Now, Father, this land of ours, so evil. Father, we need to remove from office of our government and our churches those that have brought all of this evil upon our people, and to replace them with your children, those that love you, that love the church, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, love your people, and love this country. And help us, Father, to put our government back to where they took it off of, back onto your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we pray for Jerusalem. We pray for them, Father, for all of them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that they can have peace, Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout this day. Hold our hand. I ask this all in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody. God bless. I hope you have a great, great, great day. Be back with me at 6 p.m. Eastern Time this evening. Bye-bye now.